A lot of people will be gathering today for big Super Bowl parties, which is a lot of fun for a lot of people. Look at us, we're gathering to hear the Bible this morning. Isn't that wonderful? It's always wonderful for God's people to get together, and I'm certainly thankful and blessed to be with you here this morning. You know, in the Gospels, we see the Lord Jesus Christ teaching and encouraging people to pray. And we also, he not only taught people to and encouraged people to pray, but we also see that he himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, was a man of prayer. And in seeing that, it really inspires me. I'll tell you why in a little bit. This morning, we're going to first look at a few places where Jesus Christ taught and encouraged people to pray, and then after that, we will look at some verses showing his prayer life. So in Luke 18, which is probably familiar, Luke chapter 18, verse 1, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." This is one of those few places in the Bible where we get the explanation of what the parable was about, because parables are not always the easiest to understand. But isn't it neat that God just told us before the parable even comes up in the scriptures, here's a parable about we should not faint but always pray. And so this is the parable that Jesus Christ taught to illustrate this, to paint a picture, to show them. It's not a true story, it's a parable. Saying, verse 2, "There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man." And there was a widow in that city. She came unto him, saying, "Avenge me of mine adversary." And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, "Though I fear not God and I don't regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me." I am tired of her just, yak, 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 take care of me. So he told this parable, and then the Lord said in verse 6, "Did you hear what the unjust judge saith? And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them?" What a great example about being persistent when we pray. Jesus Christ said, don't faint, just keep praying. Men, women, anyone ought to always pray and not faint. Be persistent, stay at it. We read in Thessalonians about praying and thanking God, and it says, without ceasing. Well, you can't pray every waking moment of your life, right? I can't be praying right now while I'm teaching. I might pause for a minute and ask God something, but the point of that without ceasing is staying persistent in prayer. Not quitting, not giving up on it. Paul said in the book of Romans, without ceasing, I make mention of you in my prayers. He was persistent in his praying for those people. And in Romans 12, it says, continuing instant in prayer, giving persistent attention to prayer. So Jesus Christ taught them, don't faint, just keep praying. Be like that widow woman, just keep banging on the door. Don't give up. Don't quit. Be persistent. Matthew chapter 6, if you go there. Matthew chapter 6 is the next one we're going to look at. And in Matthew 6, we're going to start in verse 5. Matthew 6, 5. He was teaching them a number of things, so we're just kind of in the middle of the discussion here in verse 5. "And when you pray, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they loved to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets. Why? That they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. The whole reason they're doing that is so people can look at them and go, oh my gosh, they're so holy. Look at that guy praying. Yeah, that's their reward. That's what they wanted. But you, when you pray, enter into your closet. And when you have shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. Not necessarily a literal closet. I know some people, like in their house, this is my prayer closet. Or they have an area set aside where they go, this is my prayer closet. Referring back to what Jesus Christ was teaching, it doesn't mean a physical, literal closet, but it means get away from everybody. Get quiet. Get very quiet and speak to your Heavenly Father. And we're in verse 7. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask. And as he was explaining this, he kept referring to God as what? Father. Jesus Christ introduced the concept to people when he was here on earth that God was our Father. He spoke about my Father, the Father, your Father. Bringing that concept to people that God Almighty, the creator of the heavens and the earth, is our Father. And then he went on to say, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. After this manner. And he's going to give them the heart of prayer. He didn't say, okay, take out your notepads and write this down and memorize what I'm about to tell you. He didn't say, repeat after me. He said, in this manner, pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. What a beautiful way to start a prayer, by recognizing God's greatness, by having reverence toward God. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. This, of course, was before the kingdom finally came to pass, but the point is, God, your will be done. Your will be done. Where are we at? Verse 11. Okay. Give us this day our daily bread. Now it's petitions. Let my request be made known. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. He was teaching them the heart of praying. Pray in this manner. Give reverence to God. And then you can get on with your petitions. One more, John chapter 16 of Jesus Christ teaching prayer. In John 16, this is something that happened at the Last Supper, where, if you're familiar, especially in the Gospel of John, there are a number of chapters that talk that show what was going on at the Last Supper. Jesus Christ taught a lot that night. I often wonder when you read those, 4 or 5 chapters in John of the Last Supper, I often wonder, gee, was every supper like that when they were with Jesus Christ? Because there's a lot in there. But we're going to go to John 16 and verse 23. And he's talking to them and said, and in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Isn't that great? God wants us full of joy. Jesus Christ said, ask in my name so that God can answer your prayer so that your joy may be full. Verse 25. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time comes when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day you shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you, because you never sin. Look at this. The Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. Oh my goodness, the Father loves you. And so Jesus Christ was teaching them, said, you can go to the Father. Ask in my name. The Father loves you. That's really beautiful, isn't it? We're going to go to Mark chapter 1. So Jesus Christ not only taught and encouraged people to pray, but he himself was a man of prayer. And I think you're familiar with this section in Mark chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 32. They're in Simon's house. They went into Simon's house. Simon's mother-in-law was laid there with a fever, and then Jesus Christ just healed her. And it says in verse 32, at even when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased, and them that were possessed with devils. And all the city was gathered together at the door. Had quite a crowd there at Simon's house. Verse 34, and he healed many that were sick of divers or different kinds of diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. What a great night of deliverance. You know, they got to Simon's house, and then Simon's mother-in-law got healed. Oh, that's great. And then it says she ministered to him. They probably had a meal. Everybody ate. Everybody's fine. Oh, gosh, all these people are at the house. He did all of this healing. What a great night of deliverance. And then the next day, verse 35, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. You would think that'd be the morning to sleep in. We had such a great night last night. We're up late. Everybody got healed, and it's what a great night of deliverance. Ah, let's just sleep in this morning. Boom, he's up a great while before day. Went to a solitary place and there prayed. Verse 36, and Simon and they that were with him followed after him, and when they had found him, they had to go look for him. They didn't know where he was. They said unto him, all men seek for thee. And he said unto them, let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. After such a dynamic evening, very early in the morning, by himself, got alone with God, went into his closet to pray to his Father. Very inspiring to see our Lord Jesus Christ do that. But let's just stop for just a second. Why did God tell us this? Why did God tell us that Jesus Christ got up a great while before day, went into a solitary place, and then prayed? Well, we know the scriptures came by way of holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. God told them what to write. Jesus Christ said in Matthew, the scriptures are God speaking to you. So, why did God tell us he got up early a great while before day? Why do we need to know that? We don't have a minute-by-minute account of everything Jesus Christ said and did in his earthly ministry, do we? No, we got the four Gospels here, don't we? And what we have is what God wanted us to know. So God wants us to know that on this occasion, Jesus Christ got up before dawn, went to a solitary place, and there prayed. And isn't that inspiring to see him do that? Luke chapter 6 is next. Luke 6. In Luke 6, another place in the scriptures that show Jesus Christ's prayer life. Luke chapter 6, verse 12, "And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God." It's like, wow. I'll bet every one of us in this room at some time in our life, for whatever reason, stayed up all night. Could have been someone was sick, maybe we were sick, maybe some situation. Not easy, is it? Stay up all night around 6 or 7 o'clock in the morning, you're ready to go to bed. I've been up all night. He spent all night in prayer to God. And then, if you're familiar with the record, right after that, he chose the 12 after all that night in prayer. There's another time in, we won't look at it, but in Matthew 14, he had just, it was a heavy, heavy time. He had just heard that John the Baptist had been executed. And he went somewhere to get alone. You think it hurt his heart that his cousin John, first recorded prophet for 400 years, was executed? That must have hurt. You know, so he wanted to get alone. And then, if you're familiar with the record, a great multitude came. And it said he looked on him and he had compassion on him. Always doing the Father's will. So he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, multiplied, fed 5,000 men besides women and children. Then told the disciples, "You guys go ahead and take off. Go ahead, get in the ship and I'll tell everybody goodnight and goodbye." So he sent the multitude. And then finally, after all of that, he had some alone time. It says he went into the mountain alone to pray by himself. How inspiring. In John chapter 12, Jesus Christ said, "Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. Now is my soul troubled, what shall I say?" Why did God want us to know that? Maybe because there might be a day or two where our soul is troubled. And when my soul is troubled, what shall I say? Ah! Father, Father, Father. And of course, John 17, on the night he was arrested, is the whole chapter is a prayer. To read that sometime, that God would let us see his whole prayer. That's just amazing, isn't it? There are other places. We're going to look at one more, Garden of Gethsemane. Go to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. How inspiring to see Jesus Christ's prayer life, what God is showing us in his word. So we're going to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28. They've arrived at Gethsemane, Garden of Gethsemane. That was not the trumpet, because it wasn't loud enough. 26:36. Does that work?
Yes.
We got it. Thank you. Matthew 26 is where we're going now. Matthew 26, verse 36. "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the 2 sons of Zebedee, James and John. And look at this. Began to be sorrowful and very heavy." And he was sorrowful and very heavy because he knew what was ahead. He knew he was going to be beaten to a pulp. He knew Isaiah's prophecy that he wouldn't be recognizable as a human being. He knew he was going to be crucified. I'd be pretty heavy too, wouldn't you? "He began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me." That's to the three, Peter, James, and John. And then he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." And he cometh to the disciples and findeth them asleep. "I'm really exceedingly sorrowful unto death. You guys pray and watch with me." "Okay." And he comes back. They're snoring. And he saith unto Peter, "What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done." And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them, and he went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. A very heavy time, and what was he doing? Praying. Sometimes we go through heavy times. Pray. Pray. Go find your closet and pray. And pray. And pray some more. And Jesus said, we should not faint, but always pray. Jesus Christ not only taught and encouraged people to pray, but he himself was a man of prayer. And what really inspires me about seeing in the scriptures Jesus Christ as a man of prayer is that if Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who always did the will of the Father, if anyone might seem to be exempt, if there's anyone who looks like they might not need to pray, would it not be the Lord Jesus Christ? And yet, he took the time and made the time to pray. So what about you and me? We could take the time and make the time to pray. And some people might say, well, Jesus just prayed to show people an example because he really didn't need to pray. No, no, no. If that were true, why did he get up early before dawn and go to a solitary place and they had to find him? Did he leave a note? "I went to pray. Come try to find me." No. Why'd he go alone in the mountain to pray? They didn't know that. He sent all the disciples away. And remember that verse we read, I read to you from John 12. "Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father." When his soul was troubled, he said, "Father." So, he didn't pray just to show them an example. And as you know, all through the Bible, there are many, many verses regarding prayer. It's a huge topic. It's a wonderful topic in God's Word. God tells us that his ears are open unto our prayers. God has chosen to listen whenever we pray. And sometimes when I'm praying, I thank God for listening to me babble on. But God wants our heart. You know, it's like, be not like the heathens do, using vain repetitions. You know, sometimes people come up with these prayer cards. Here, pray this prayer. The prayer you want to pray is the prayer from your heart, because God's listening. You want to see some great prayers, read some stuff in the Psalms where they're like totally discouraged and frustrated, and they're like, "God, what am I going to do here? I need your help." God wants our heart. So his ears are open unto our prayers, and God loves us. It's like Jesus Christ said, the Father himself loves you. His ears are open to our prayers. He loves us. It says in Romans, nothing can ever separate us from the love of God. So when we pray to God and he's listening, we ought to remember, we're praying to God who loves us, just loves us dearly. And I think you know that God's word says that we should cast all our cares upon him because he cares for us. It says in Philippians, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by Prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. So let's remember what Jesus taught about prayer that we looked at. Men, women, anyone ought to always pray and not faint. Stay persistent in praying. Don't pray with vain repetitions and make a public show about it. Go get in your prayer closet and speak to your Father. When we pray, we give God, our Father, the reverence and the praise that He deserves. And we can follow the example of our Lord Jesus Christ, who indeed was a man of prayer. And so we can be people of prayer as well. So, Father, thank You for Your wonderful word that gives us such clarity concerning praying to You. Father, how thankful we are that You are such a great God of love that You would have Your ears open to our prayers. Father, we praise You. We thank You for our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Father, that Your ears would be open unto our prayers and that we could go to You like Your Son said, because You love us. Thank You for loving us. Thank You for all the rights, privileges that we have as Your children. Father, as we look forward to that great day when Jesus Christ is coming back, until then, may we praise You, may we go to You, may we give You our hearts, knowing that You hear us and that You would desire that our joy would be full. Thank You for the privilege of sharing Your word this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So that's a little bit about praying. I was putting this together, it was like, gee, I need to go pray. I got inspired to pray more, and hopefully maybe you did too.